May the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This is my heart's desire. I was tremendously blessed with the way Brother Henry started in, or before that even the song, I'll Praise My Maker. It fits so well with what I had in my heart when I was called to do this today. The first thing that popped in my mind while I was yet speaking with the lad that asked me, this has to be a sermon of praise to our Creator. I have been a couple of times here now with reprimanding attitude, and my heart's desire is for praise. To think what Jesus did for us, the sacrifice he spent for all of us, for all the different people we are, the different actions, attitudes, thoughts, life we came from, all the differences. And what Abe presented there about having patience with each other is a very vital thing. When you look, take that into a family setting, that needs to be there. And it comes to those that are hardest to love are the ones that need it the most. It's simple the way it goes. But last week, Brother Alvin asked us to meditate and read the Sermon on the Mount. And I was doing that periodically as I went about. And I got enthused. It's a very vital part of Christian life. It starts in there and 5. And seeing, Jesus started in there, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. There was multitudes of people there, and his disciples, those that really seen there's something major, something abnormal about this man, they want to follow him. And discipleship there is constant attendance of Christ. It is one of these things. There is a profound, different teaching that Christ gives versus flesh and blood, versus what the flesh desires, what mankind. And as you go through the 5, 6, and 7 chapters of Matthew, we're all bombarded, we're all tested, I should say, with the very same things in different levels and different times of our life. And then we come back to what Abe was saying, we need to have patience, but then also the different things that came out, the balance we need. I was blessed with coming back to this. I haven't read it for quite a while. Sermon on the Mount. And it is always a blessing for me. And then to read the commentary. I'll do quite a bit of that likely. He starts right in. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sermon on the Mount indicates that this message deals with the inner state of mind and heart. That is the indispensable absolute of true Christian discipleship. The inner state is the true Christian discipleship. It delineates the outward manifestations of character and conduct of true believers and genuine disciples. Thus, the life of the believer described by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is a life of grace and glory which comes from God alone. To make this quality of life the product of man's human efforts, as does the liberal, is the height of overestimation of man's ability and underestimation of his depravity. To regulate this entire message, Jesus' longest recorded sermon to a Jewish-only lifestyle, as do some dispensationalists, is to rob the church of her greatest statement of true Christian living. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the opposite of haughty and arrogance, lording, domineering, pride, the opposite. The poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's been a long time I went through life and I wondered, mourn. But as age creeps on, mourn for your sins that you committed. Anguish. Why did I do it? Why was I in that statement? Why those type of mournings? But we can feel, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Once we get the insight of what Jesus actually did on the cross for people that were sinners. He did that because he loved us. Once that really sinks in, then we're comforted. We can go on in life and remember our sins are taken care of. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed means happy, according to this. This is a basic description of the believer's inner condition as a result of the work of God. These beatitudes, like Psalm 1, do not show a man how to be saved, but rather describes the characteristics of one who has been saved. The poor in spirit are the opposite of the proud or haughty in spirit. They have been humbled by the grace of God and have acknowledged their sin and therefore their dependence upon God to save them. They will inherit the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a general designation of the dwelling place of the saved. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That verse has been a tremendous blessing. There's times when you yearn for understanding, yearn for revelation for of righteousness, to walk the way of truth. And when you pray and ask, it shall be given. The future possessors of the earth are its presently installed rightful heirs, and even now they hunger and thirst after righteousness. They experience a deep desire for personal righteousness, which in itself is a proof of their spiritual rebirth. Those who are poor and empty in their own spiritual poverty recognize the depth of their need, and they hunger and thirst for that which only God can give them. They shall be filled. I believe Brother Abe was mentioning about that. Only God, as we wait patiently for someone to, for the weak brother, only God can put that in. And it made me think of an incident. There was a young man going through that conversion stage. He was beside himself. He was hard to deal with. And he was struggling in his innermost. And the people that were involved close by were at wit's end. They couldn't come to grips. He was alone in his room. In this particular case, he was making havoc of the room, and they called the minister, and he just walked in and talked to the other people, and they explained the situation. As the story goes, he walked to the door, observed it, didn't say a word, closed the door. He's doing fine. He's on his way. Just leave him alone. The Spirit was dealing with him. And there was, yes, everybody had their part to do, but the Spirit was dealing with him, and this minister understood the immensity of just let it take its course. To me, it was kind of, well, I was in a learning process too, but there is a virtue, a point in there. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There was mercy for that particular incident. And that they needed to take time. But these Beatitudes do mainly dwell on those that have the born-again experience already. Those that want to live righteously. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That was one for myself. I had often wondered, how can I be pure in heart? I have to do that daily. Purify myself. And those who are truly saved shall see God. These are the pure in heart. Their lives have been transformed by the grace of God. They are not yet sinless, but their position before God has been changed. They have the new birth, saving faith and holiness. The process of sanctification is ever conforming them to the image of Christ, which image consists in righteousness and true holiness. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers have a very sensitive, tender situation they usually deal with. As one phrase once said, when they were ordaining a deacon, As one minister said, deacons have to deal with the people that do not want to. It's not quite the same in English, but basically the peacemakers, to deal with those that still deal with selfishness. Throughout the Beatitudes, Jesus clearly underscores that only those who have the qualities of a changed life herein described are citizens of his kingdom. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Yes, it does happen, no doubt. I do believe it's going to get worse when governments start to, and authorities in this position start to do that. It will be a different setting, but when it is amongst churches, it does happen there. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The Christian does not want to do that, and he strives to be upright, patient, just and holy, merciful, pure in heart. But those that are not truly born again, flesh and blood, it does eventually here and there leak out what really is in the heart. And verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. When you read the Old Testament and the different prophets, you can think of your own prophets that stood for what is right. My mind goes to Daniel. The whole world was there, the whole country was there, asking that they bow down to this idol, and he refused. And he ended up in the lion's den. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. But he was safe from that situation. And the Christians, those that seek after these things, the love, the mercy, forgiveness, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So there is duties continuously. We need to daily walk and talk with God. Daily, because there's, when you read many parts of the New Testament, there is lines, there is guide, there is direction. But this is amazing. This is what Jesus preached, the first sermon he preached, these type of things. And to the disciples that wanted to hear. To me, that was a very... His disciples came unto him. They searched the scriptures. Here we have the scriptures. Jesus is not here physically anymore, but his words are here. And for us to not meditate, ponder, is, the words left me, the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It is amazing going through life, and when you're down and out and depressed, struggling to do what is right, and you, someone comes along, and in the process of working with people and with the business, whatever, someone just gives a lending hand, a word of encouragement, a smile. Look at the vast difference that does versus if somebody comes mocking or criticizing or critical or demanding, commanding. The vast difference there. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I have seen that tremendously here in this little building. That kindness. Christ on the law. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. It comes out again, the difference between mercy and love and kindness and versus commanding, demanding, law, arrogant, haughty, pride. The opposites come out again here. Down here I have in law, in law, and then beside it a row of in spirit. In law it means no murder. That is law. But in spirit, no anger. Most always I would think before a murder occurs, there was tremendous anger. Therefore, by law, it's not right to murder. And true so, but in the spirit, it's not right to even be angry. And then the next one is no adultery. Same thing. Adultery is sin. And later on, it comes out more vivid. But the spirit, not even lust. The spirit doesn't even want to. And then divorce, no divorce, it's the law. But the spirit, commitment. When you sit in a wedding and you see the bride and the bridegroom committing their life sentence till death doth part. That's what commitment is. Where law is no divorce. Then another one is no oath taking. The law is no oath taking. I think that means don't emphasize what you say. And the Spirit is speak the truth. And there was a phrase, the truth never fears investigation. That is true. No matter what. If it's the truth, it doesn't fear investigation. Another one is no retaliation. For law, not retaliate. Don't retaliate. But the Spirit is forgiveness. Hatred for your enemies. Here again, the law, I think here it would almost say hatred for your enemies is all it says, however you interpret that. But Christ, the Spirit, love for your enemies. Look at the vast difference again. Those were interesting to me, reading through that. Jesus and anger. There's a few questions in there that would be extremely interesting to discuss maybe at dinner time. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry without his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Is it possible to be angry over someone without a cause? Is one of my questions. I come to a dead end, I guess. Usually if you're angry, there's a cause, there's a reason. But here, I'm willing to be told. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthings. For one thing, if somebody, thou fool means stupid. The English word moron comes from this term. Those using such a malicious expression would be in danger of hellfire. The idea seems to be that if one makes the light of his fellow man, he will be in danger of slander. But if one makes bitter, damning statements with reference to hell toward this fellow man, he shall actually be in danger of hell himself. That I have witnessed over the years in different situations. When somebody verbally stated, I wish you to hell, and it made me cringe. Those words, for somebody to speak those words. But that's basically for those that have not been saved, because anyone that knows the love of Christ, what he did to save us from this world, is more than ready to be gentle and tell him. Then there's this section of Jesus teaching on adultery and on divorce, on oath, love for enemies. And it goes through these different teachers, Jesus teaching on alms, teaching on prayer. And it is all those things. It is a Christian, newly baptized or old time, old people, those that walk, want to walk, search after righteousness. We will be tested. We will have those things introduced sometime or other. And then it's our choice. Where do we choose? Do we choose to walk away? No. Satan, get thee behind me. For someone to say he has never been into those settings, I would sure love to talk with him. Jesus teaching on adultery. And there's one word in there that really stands out to me as the difference when it's starting to go downhill. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But this is Jesus talking. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. And if then it goes on to say the tremendous things to do to walk away from that. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Then the next one is on divorce. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. It's one of those things to me, it's very blunt. Adultery, divorce is not an option. Then on oath, yes, yes, and no, no, is basically the whole scenario. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Yes, yes, no, no. It is one of these things that I thank my earthly father tremendously Not that I'm saying I've perfected in it. It is a daily watch guard for me too, but that was, to use swear words, was one of the, same as smoking, was one of the things that absolute no. Just final. Because it's useless. He said, let your yes be yes, no, no. And love for your enemies. That's a huge one too. Love for your enemies. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, that's a natural flesh way. Give back what you get. But Jesus said, I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Makes me think of an incident. A friend of mine discovered he had a neighbor that was helping himself to his gas tank. And he just let him go. And the next time he seen him come in, and he walked up to the tank and filled it for him. And he never came back. That was the end. I thought, my, that was the very thing here. Give him some more. But that is not the normal way of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood would be get back what you already stole. But that's what Jesus did. We were sinners to no end all. You can mention the whole list. And Jesus came to this earth, Father, God, as man, as flesh and blood, that whosoever believes on him shall be saved. What a promise. Let us dwell on that and cherish. And then his commandments here. He did the very thing that he's promoting. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. It is, and you come into circumstances where you almost cringe what the way to do, how to work, how to go about. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. But this verse, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I had a friend working for me in the last weeks. I took him home. It was an hour's drive to take him home after the work was done. And I discovered this was an ex-soldier. He was in the United Army. I'm not sure if I had presented precisely, but maybe you can get the gist of what I want to present. This army, he left the army, or I didn't go into the details why, but he was not in the army anymore. And his ex-army partners kept contact with him. And he had a commander that was a very respectable man in his position, I guess. This commander discovered something that was, and I think you heard about it, discovered that there was something developing in his station where he was stationed, and he asked permission from the Canadian embassy or Canadian officials, Ottawa, and they said he has to go to Washington. So he asked permission there to stop what was developing, and they told him not to do a thing. And he was basically tied, either obey his superiorities or do what he can. And this was developing within days. And he stationed his people around the circle where he knew where this thing was developing. This was an organized system of demolishing, murdering, killing, manipulating people with faith in God. Believers. And they literally watched hundreds, into thousands of people being murdered right on the spot. And they had no TV, no nothing. Nobody knew what was going on. And these soldiers that witnessed that and watched the innocence of it, from babies to grandfathers, mothers. Some went home and went to drugs. Others went insane. It was a horror story to me. But this is apparently happening. He was confident from what he said. But I say unto you, love your enemies. How can you love enemies like that? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Another scripture somewhere says that they will kill you and feel they are doing God a service. And then when I see people getting together and feel that heartfelt desire to worship God, to walk after Him, do His righteousness, His will, it thrills me. That brother and sister, we don't all think alike, we don't all do alike, but that heart is in, I see that in the hearts. I feel it. To do, to love, to be merciful, to be forgiving, understanding, loving. Then, with all those different things, I want to go to Ephesians 6, I believe, 10 to 20. We need the armor of God through these things. As was said in the start there, these Beatitudes are for those, mainly for those that desire to walk after God and His righteousness. and Paul to the Ephesians. Starting at verse 10 in Ephesians 5. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'm a little bit What was that? And was it chapter 6? I'm sorry. Chapter 6, the whole armor of God is what I wanted. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye be able, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Those verses about putting on the whole armor of God, faith, is on the praying with all prayer and supplication. Perseverance for all saints. I feel that. I see that. Keep on. There is a way prepared for all those that love God. And he is visible in so many ways, as we live out on the farm, out in the land. You see spring and summer, and he's right with us all the time, if we but ask. God bless you.